Welcome to today's Innovative Ideas podcast. Our guest today is Dr. Andrew von Eschenbach. Dr. von Eschenbach currently serves as the president of Samaritan Health Initiatives and is also a consultant at the Center for Health Transformation. He's also an adjunct professor at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. From September 2005 to January 2009, Dr. von Eschenbach served as commissioner of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, where he championed an agenda to modernize the FDA by process improvement of the regulatory pathway for drugs and medical devices and by fostering creative projects, including the FDA's Critical Path Initiative, designed to bring modern tools of science to the product development process. He also expanded work plans like the FDA's Food Protection Plan and nurtured the workforce through workforce development initiatives such as agency-wide fellowship program and the development of a new integrated campus for the FDA in White Oaks, Maryland. Prior to that, Dr. von Eschenbach served 4 years as the director of the National Cancer Institute at the National Institutes of Health, where he set an ambitious goal to eliminate the suffering and death due to cancer by rapid acceleration and integration of the discovery-development continuum. Dr. von Eschenbach, thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Paul, and to be a part of Manhattan Institute's effort to inform people about many of the current events that are taking place, especially as it relates to FDA's decisions about drugs such as Avastin.
That's right. And let me just give a little background for our listeners today. So today, the FDA, after a very long process, officially revoked the label indication for the drug Avastin. It's used to stop blood vessel growth in tumors, broadly speaking. This decision had been a long time in coming. The FDA had gone to one of its advisory committees some months ago. The advisory committee voted, I believe, unanimously to remove the label indication for Avastin for metastatic breast cancer. It's approved for several other types of cancer. Could you give us a little bit of background on what this decision means today from the FDA's perspective and from a cancer patient's perspective?
Well, one of the most important things to begin with is to perhaps emphasize what the decision does not mean. It does not mean that Avastin has been withdrawn or removed from the market. This drug will continue to be available for patients, including available for patients with breast cancer. And if there is a decision by a physician along with the patient where they believe strongly that Avastin can be of help or benefit in that individual specific patient, then the drug would be able to be available since it is on the market. What the decision means is that the FDA carefully considered the claim that this drug should be recommended for certain patients with breast cancer based on preliminary information that had been gathered by virtue of a clinical trial. And the FDA agreed to provide Avastin under this recommendation as part of what they call their accelerated approval process. And by that, what they mean is that given the fact that there's an indication that this may be of significant benefit, the FDA is willing to approve that recommendation, to approve the label that on the drug that indicates that this is an appropriate and good use of the drug based on the preliminary data, but with the caveat and the proviso that further studies are going to be necessary in order to confirm that that is in fact the case. And what happened here as part of this process was the FDA and the company, Genentech, agreed to put the drug on the market with this recommendation and then do the additional studies that then would be reviewed by the FDA. And when they were, in fact, reviewed, the FDA concluded that there was not significant benefit based on those additional studies to warrant using this drug and the potential risks and side effects that could come from it. And so FDA then made its final decision to reverse its preliminary accelerated approval decision and to remove the label, to remove the recommendation for Avastin to be used under these particular circumstances.
And as you've noted before, I think it's important to underscore the point, physicians and patients who individually believe that Avastin is a valuable therapy or is working well for them can continue to use the therapy. This is just, in effect, a guidance from the agency for experts and cancer patients about what they believe to be the risk-benefit balance of the drug based on the data they have today.
Correct. It sets the stage where the FDA makes decisions about the risks and the benefits of any particular drug, and then approves that drug for that specific indication. So it has withdrawn that approval, but it has not withdrawn the drug from the market.
And could you give us a little sense of the importance of the accelerated approval pathway for cancer in particular? I understand a number of very important therapies for cancer, in fact, have been approved through the accelerated approval process. But as you noted, it's conditional on companies completing these studies that confirm or disprove initial evidence of benefits. But when this works successfully, patients get faster access to therapies. Companies have an opportunity to bring important therapies to market sooner than they'd otherwise have to. But the trade-off is you have to follow up with these final studies that, in fact, confirm the evidence. What's the importance of having this option available to the agency and for patients?
Well, it's extremely important for this mechanism to be in place. And in fact, I personally believe that there's great opportunity to even go further with regard to finding ways to bring new, innovative, and potentially highly beneficial therapies to patients at the earliest possible time. And to use a process like the accelerated approval process, where when a drug is undergoing testing in a very early clinical trial with a well-defined population of patients, and in that small population of patients, there is an indication that this drug or this therapy could be of significant benefit to a very large, wide population of patients, then the accelerated approval allows that to occur. It allows that drug to then be used in a much larger, wider setting, but with the proviso that there is still much more that needs to be learned about that drug in order to be certain and that, in fact, what you saw in a very small group of people is actually going to be true of a very large group or everyone else who's going to then be exposed to that particular drug. So it's a way of rapidly getting new innovative therapies to patients while at the same time keeping in place the safeguards that are going to be necessary to actually prove that that is in fact going to benefit that large population.
So this is building on, as I understand it, a pathway that was developed during the AIDS crisis. So to say that we have a marker, some indication that this drug or this therapy is going to be beneficial, called a surrogate marker, and we're going to follow up and test that. And this has been tremendously successful since the AIDS time in getting patients faster access to newer therapies. And so this is, I think, you know, some people might see this as a criticism of the program, that a drug got to market with a certain indication that later had to be revoked. Really, this is a sign of the program's success. Is that fair?
I very much agree with you on that point. I think it is a sign of the success of the program on two fronts. One, as you pointed out, there are patients, there are people with life-threatening illnesses that need access to these new innovative therapies at the earliest possible time. And we want that to happen, and this is a mechanism that can allow that to happen. While at the same time, we have to continuously be certain that we're safeguarding patients by learning about the effectiveness of the drug and learning about unexpected risks that could also occur. And so this is actually proof of principle that you can do this. You can allow early access. You can monitor and track very carefully the performance of that therapy or that drug. And if the evidence does not hold up, then the FDA can appropriately intervene and make a new informed decision in the benefit of patients. And I think it's the way we need to proceed in the future on an even larger scale.
One final question, Dr. Von Eschenbach. In your experience, both during your tenure at the National Cancer Institute and as a physician who's treated cancer patients, I understand how intensely emotional decisions like this or issues like this can seem to, especially to women who are struggling with metastatic breast cancer. But one hopeful development over the last several years is the development of increasingly targeted cancer therapies based on what are called biomarkers. In the case of Genentech, we don't have right now, or the case of Avastin, I should say, we don't currently have a biomarker that indicates the women who may respond very positively to Avastin treatment and have better outcomes versus the relative side effects they might also have to endure. What do you think the future of cancer research is going to look like in a few years? I understand that even Roche and Genentech have indicated that they're going to pursue a phase 3 trial with Avastin looking for a potential biomarker. So are issues like these going to be increasingly things of the past just by virtue of where the science is taking us in terms of cancer therapy?
Well, I would certainly hope so. I mean, we've known, and patients are quite aware, that certain drugs seem to work very well in some patients. And that same drug in someone else who seems to almost have the same problem, the drug doesn't have any benefit at all. And that's been particularly true in the cancer arena, but it is also true in many, many other diseases. And what's occurring today is that science is giving us new tools, biomarkers, as you pointed out, that can enable us to know which drug is going to work in which patient and under what circumstances. And when we continue to develop this technology, we will be able to tailor therapies where we can give a drug to a specific patient because they happen to have a particular biomarker that's predicting that this drug is going to have the desired effect. And the trial that you're alluding to is that this drug Avastin is a drug that's designed to inhibit blood vessel formation that's feeding the tumor. And Genentech will now undertake a study to look at VEGF, which is the chemical in the body that stimulates blood vessels and is in fact stimulating blood vessels to feed a tumor, and determine whether Avastin is appropriate for people who have a very high level of VEGF or a very high level of that drug, that chemical that's driving those blood vessels. This is the way we will practice medicine in the future. We will have tools, biomarkers, companion diagnostics, if you will, that are going to help us be much more rational about which drug we give to which patient. And I think we'll see then our ability to move away from population medicine to personalized medicine.
And this is a world where I think you're describing where it becomes just as important to test the patient as it is to test the drug.
Exactly. And now we are able to do that with new tools that weren't available to us, you know, even 5-10 years ago. And FDA, along with the industry, are collaborating, including the National Institutes of Health, are collaborating and working very hard to continue to find and develop these biomarkers, if you will, these ways of being able to predict before we give a treatment to a patient whether it's going to work or not. And the implications of that are going to be amazingly important, not only for the quality of care, but our ability to reduce the cost of health care by not giving patients drugs that are ineffective and not giving them drugs that are going to cause them unnecessary harm, because we're going to have the tools to be able to know how to do that before we ever give them the drug, rather than give them a drug and wait and see what happens.
That's a great point to conclude on. Dr. von Eschenbach, thank you very much for joining us today and giving us your perspective on the FDA's Avastin decision today.
My pleasure, Paul, and thank you, and thank the Manhattan Institute for your interest in this very important issue for women with breast cancer.
Thank you. Take care.